Another Toolbox Tuesday, and we have a special edition this week for you. Sen is very excited about it, as you can tell. This is actually by request. We have had a request for some origin stories from our doctors, kind of what brought them to dentistry to begin with and how things have changed over the course of their career. So we are starting with none other than our very own Dr. Sen Erickson. So first and foremost, just give us some ideas then, what interested you about dentistry initially, kind of, what brought you to this career field that we call home now?
I don't think my story's from that aspect might very different than most people's. I had an interest in science. I had an interest in working with my hands. I shadowed a friend's dad who's a dentist kind of in my college years, and kind of fell in love with it, honestly. I like the idea of being my own boss. I like the idea of, kind of getting to use a little bit more of your creative artistic juices in dentistry. And I liked the fact that it wasn't medicine, to be perfectly frank. I was an EMT, and I kind of went through the whole working at a clinic during college, a medical clinic, and hospital setting, paramedics, things like that. Hated it, quite frankly. And I just it just did not sit well with me. I didn't want a type of environment that was based around people always in kind of dire need, and not really the, I think the medical system at the time, it's got a little bit better, but it was definitely very disheartening to kind of see how many people were in need of medical care. They couldn't get it, and it was just a it wasn't the best. It wasn't the where I wanted to be, and that's not to say I didn't want to help these people. That wasn't it at all, but it wasn't something that I felt good about on a day-to-day basis. And I was only kind of working as like an assistant, things like that. But I knew I didn't want to be an EMT. That was just kind of more of a not my jam. But it was something. It was It was a good introduction into everything, and I was an EMT. I was a lifeguard EMT for a number of years, and that was a great career during college and after, and actually during dental school too. But I realized that I wanted something different, something more, actually.
We're upset enough when we have to tell someone that their tooth is dying. Never mind dealing with life and death situations all the time. So.
Yeah, and I think it came to a lot of, people, they, medical care was not is not and still is not it's not everything people need, and I actually kind of like the elective aspect of dentistry a little bit more, when we're talking about kind of people's wants a little bit, and obviously there are needs, and we're treating some very serious cases a lot of times, but to kind of reason with people and really give them options and kind of give them cases and kind of get them to somewhere they want to be versus somewhere they absolutely have to be in a do or die situation, I thought was more my kind of fit my demeanor.
No, absolutely. Well, one of the things you mentioned is, being your own boss, having your own business. How has dentistry changed since you graduated? I think a lot of doctors come out expecting that they're going to own their own practice and then kind of get out there in the world and kind of see what it takes to actually do that. So, how has it changed since you started running your own practice?
It's changed a ton from what I've seen, and I can't tell you. I know it has changed a ton. I don't know how much of that is me just realizing how much different options were out there and how much the industry has actually changed. Obviously, the industry has changed substantially over the last 10, 15 years, something like that. But you're absolutely right, though. When I first got out of dental school, it was go associate for a while, buy your own practice. Kind of the Shangri-La was find an associateship right out of dental school that you could roll into a partnership or even buy the practice. That was kind of the end all to be all. So that's what I was searching for. That's what almost all of my classmates were searching for. And that's what I did, honestly. And so that, it's not that it was a bad thing, but I realized probably I'd say 3 or 4 years into it that, I was basically just going down the path of everyone else in the last 50 years. And I was watching a lot of this industry and things like that change around me. And kind of wondering, okay, well, if I'm going to be kind of at the head of this, or if I'm going to kind of, have something that I really can write my own script, I'm going to need to forge my own path a little bit here. And so that was a kind of a, a little big realization that, if I'm going to kind of keep going down this road, I'm going to have exactly the life and the practice and everything that everyone has come before me has had. And I looked around and it wasn't bad. That's not, it wasn't that I didn't like that life or I didn't like that path, but I knew there was something bigger and I knew there was something better out there. And I wanted to kind of explore that a little bit. So I definitely looked more into where things were going with group practice, where things were going with DSOs, where things were going, honestly, with private practice and how those were even changing at the time, because those have changed completely. And it really, I realized what I did want. I realized what I did not want. Certain aspects of private practice, certain aspects of the DSO world. There are a lot of things I didn't want about both of those worlds, and I really didn't find too many role models to figure out how is there something kind of in the middle? Is there something different? But I really had to kind of seek that out and take little bits from different people that I've kind of, run into contact with throughout the years. So.
And how did dental school prepare you to run your own practice and be a business owner?
Zero. Yeah, and I think that's probably the most common answer you're going to get from anyone in dental school. It's just the school is not built out to do that. And I think, dental school is it serves a very specific need. And and I think for the very motivated students, you're going to get a very, very robust education and a lot of extra stuff. And for the ones that are most of the students that are going through it, you're really going to come out learning how not to hurt someone. And that's about it. And in so dentistry is a profession that has 4 years, just like medical school, but we have but medical school is a residency where you truly learn how to become a physician. Dentistry's residency is throwing out into the deep water, right? You're out
Right.
in the working world. That is your residency. Your first 3 or 4 years is your residency period. You're just making a ton of mistakes. You're learning from those mistakes, hopefully as quickly as possible. And you're finding the best mentors and role models that you can find. So, it really doesn't at all. And what it does provide you from a clinical standpoint, as far as what to do, what not to do, which is the bare minimum, I think, kind of to even get out and pass your license and start practicing. It's even less from a business standpoint. And there's really nothing. So anything from a business standpoint that you get is really just through word of mouth and talking to instructors and different people or different older students in dental school and trying to kind of figure out where the next steps are from a business standpoint. So it's that's not a fault of dental schools. I don't think they're really set up for that. And I don't really think the landscape right now with the business aspects of dentistry is honestly 10 times more complicated than dentistry itself.
Right.
And so to have a business school or business education within a dental school, you really got to pick, okay, which part of that aspect of the business of dentistry are we really going to teach inside dental school? And I think you're going to have a lot of people that disagree on kind of what is taught if they actually decided to do something like that. So I really don't think that that's appropriate. I think it's going to have to be something that, people need to get outside. And quite frankly, most dental students, when they graduate, are not ready to run a business. It's when you don't really have the efficiency and the hand skills and the dental knowledge, you really, just learning business at the same time, I think, is going to really muddy the waters. And I think a lot of people do it. I was one that tried it at the same time, and I think I learned a lot. It was tough. It was painful. I made a lot of mistakes in both aspects in dentistry and in the business side, but it's not for the faint of heart to kind of go out and run your own business right from day one.
And did you realize that maybe you were lacking in some of those business skills before you started it and just figured that you would figure it out as you went because that's what everybody did? Or, what did you think you had it figured out before you started?
No, I didn't think I had it figured out, but I mean, this is something that I've repeated. I've actually heard a couple people in the last year say the same thing. But when you graduate dental school, you're basically paying your dental school tuition to buy into a franchise. And it's a big worldwide franchise. We have dentists all over the world, but you're essentially buying your way into this franchise. And it's the franchise of the dental industry. And so what you have is now you have a sign on your door that says you can do this thing. And so you don't need a license to do, just about anything besides law and medicine, and some aspects of different, chiropractic and things like that. But I mean, if any professional, you're buying into a franchise essentially, because you have a built-in model, multiple models that you can kind of pick from and use, and you have a little bit of freedom, obviously, to kind of do your own thing. But there's a little bit of false sense of security, I think, in that too, because when we go in and we know that we can do something that people need in dentistry, we think we're excellent. We think we're really good business men, right? Men and women. It's, some of us are, some of us aren't, but just because you have a website and you're a member of, a number of insurance companies, and you can hire an assistant in a front office, and you have, umpteen number of patients per month, whatever it is, that doesn't mean that you're Elon Musk. And I think a lot of people have a little bit of this delusion that, because I, grew my practice to whatever, 750 or $1 million, that all of a sudden I'm this, this phenomenal businessman. But when we look in some of these practices, and mine included in the early days, they're just a mess. And, and I think, looking at certain aspects of, not knowing where the problems are and what we can do to kind of solve them, and really having a kind of the experience, or even the true formal business education, is a little bit of a detriment to a lot of us. So it's yes, I made a lot of mistakes. I thought I had it. I definitely didn't have a delusion that I was, a fantastic business owner, but I definitely had a little bit of a delusion that I could come out and do it really early, and I had some success and I had some failure. But I think in dentistry, with that franchise kind of buy-in, even those down years, we're still making money. And it's definitely not as nearly as much as almost everyone should, but it's, you have a little bit of this false sense of security, because even though I'm taking home a paycheck, that my business is successful, when we really look at it, it's not the case. And I think we really, I'll kind of talk about it later, but I think looking at our businesses as an owner operator is a very dangerous thing. And I think, looking at your business as strictly an owner is where we need to be as dentists.
Yeah, we've heard it said, I think from other consultants and coaches in the past, dental offices don't fail. That doesn't mean that they're successful, right? To your point, or they're as successful as they could be. Just because you're paying rent doesn't mean that that's a fully successful business, right? That should be the bare minimum.
Yeah, and I think, it's really hard to run a dental office in the ground. I mean, you got to really try. I mean, and we've seen some, unfortunately, that have really
Yes.
done it, and
Yeah.
they've done it in spectacular fashion. But you really have to be aggressively screwing up on a day-to-day basis to have a dental practice fail. And I think most of the time what happens is they don't fail. They just limp along for an entire career.
Right.
And where it's not that it's these people have a terrible lifestyle, or they have, they're constantly looking for their next paycheck or their next meal. It's not what it is, but they're never living up to anywhere near the true potential of what that practice could be. And not even from a top line, from a revenue, from producing standpoint, just even from an efficiency and just making things work and having certain numbers kind of make more sense. And it's yeah, it's a little bit sad sometimes.
Well, and the second part of this that we're going to continue next week is the group practice aspect of things. And, kind of that delineating factor between even patients still see it as, hey, you're a single doctor practice. That's the closely held patient-centered focused practice. My dentist is making cookies for me, or you're this corporate DSO, right? And so I think a lot of us have fallen into the, well, which bucket do I belong in? And, we've tried very hard to kind of bridge that gap. And part of it is the education process that we're going to get into of, hey, what does group practice look like? How did we build to that? What does that mean for our doctors and mentorship and the level of patient care that we can provide?
Right, 100%.
Well, in the meantime, if you would like to connect with us on some of these things about, hey, how can I really evaluate my business? You know, how successful is my business? If you're preparing to have an associate come on board, you know, what does that look like? If you're an associate looking for a position, what you look for in a practice, please feel free to connect with us. We'd be happy to help with you with any of those questions. We're on all of the social media platforms. You can reach out to us at connect@pathwaydentalsolutions.com, or our website is pathwaydentalsolutions.com. And we will be back next week for part two of this conversation.
Sounds good.
All right. See you guys then.